Well, joining us this morning, we have State Senator John Jagler. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning. Hope everybody's staying warm.
You know, there was a point yesterday afternoon, and I'm watching the Patriots-Broncos game on TV, and I'm looking at my phone, and it was the first time in a few days that the temperature actually was above zero. It was like 2 degrees. I almost felt like I
celebrated the same moment when I went to let the dogs out. It was like, hey, wait a minute. I checked it. It's like, it's 4 degrees here. Yeah. On the positive side.
Oh, boy. That was pretty bad when you're celebrating it, and it's like 2 degrees, 4 degrees. Holy cow. But anyway, that's part of the appeal of living in Wisconsin, I guess. But
that's what I'm told, yeah.
All right. A couple of things we wanted to talk to you about. Apparently, there's going to be, did you tell me, 3 constitutional amendments on the November ballot?
Yeah. How it works in Wisconsin is, you know, right now we're having a hard time getting bills signed into law that are our priorities because Governor Evers vetoes them. So the only way to do that, really, is to change the U.S. Constitution. And we've done this before. You know, it's been done many times before. How it works is the legislature has to pass the constitutional amendment in one form in one session and then pass it in the exact same form in the second session, right after that, in subsequent session. And then it goes to the voters to decide the matter. And we sent 2 of them, and the third is going to be coming as soon as the assembly ratifies it as well. And they'll be on the ballot in November. And the first of which dates back a couple of years on its genesis. It's, you know, we all remember during COVID. And one of the things that happened during COVID that made people very upset as far as a government restriction was they shut down our churches. The state shut down our churches. And this would make it clear that the state of Wisconsin can never, ever shut down our churches again, or places of worship, when it comes to some type of outbreak or things like that. You know, a lot of the people, we heard from a lot of constituents who that was their refuge, especially during scary, tough times, and they were denied to be able to worship. And so that'll be put to the voters in November. And hopefully we'll never have to even have this question come again, right? I mean, in our lifetimes, that would be great. But so that'll be up in November. Another one that we ratified and sent over that'll be on the ballot in November has to do with DEI and more of affirmative action, things like that. It says the state can no longer use race, gender, sex, you know, sexuality in any way to discriminate against somebody in any way. So it basically gets rid of DEI in our schools. It gets rid of college admissions where you're judged on merit rather than some type of rate meeting a quota or things like that. And that again will be put on our ballot in November. And I know it's quite popular with some folks to say, look, you know, we cannot be held to the, you know, sins of our forefathers. Like, if from going forward, we need to just look at the person and they should be judged on their individual merits, not on who they are, what they are, who they worship, what color they are, etc. So that'll be up for voters in November. And the last one has a more recent tie to it and certainly a more topical tie to it. And it says that any governor going forward can no longer ever use this veto pen to raise our taxes. We can no longer use our line item veto to raise our taxes. And this stems, of course, it was, you know, after Governor Evers used his veto pen, the line item veto powers, and which was upheld by the court to raise our taxes for the next 400 years, taking a school per pupil increase that was only designed to be for the next 2 years, and used his veto pen to cross out some numbers and change some things around, and all of a sudden now that increase for per pupil is for the next 400 years. So this says that can never happen again. It doesn't really restrict the line item veto power other than to say you can't ever use it to raise taxes. So I think that one probably will be an easy one to get past when it goes to voters in November. So that's just one of the things that we got done last week on the Senate floor. We had a session, kind of a longer stay. There were a lot of bills on there, and including one that got some attention. We modified our tax code and eliminated the tax on tips to match the federal code. So if that goes through, if Governor Evers signs that, you know, our tip workers will no longer have to pay taxes on those. So those were some of the things that we did on the Senate floor last week, Bob.
Yeah, it was interesting. Over the weekend, I actually saw it was a report on the tax on tips, and basically it showed how people can claim that deduction, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be in place for the, you know, this it'll make it easier on your accountant, easier if you're doing your taxes yourself, because the deduction will match the federal deduction that's been put in place by the Trump administration. So,
right.
it's a very popular thing to help out some folks. And you know, it is rather interesting, though. There's some confusion on it. Say you make $15 an hour, and, you know, I'm thinking about the tax on overtime, which is a bill that is also making its way through that the federal government passed, no tax on overtime. We're still in discussion on that. Don't know if there's the votes there on that. So we'll likely look at that one coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I got two nephews who are linemen that would certainly appreciate not having to see as much taxes on overtime, because they get called to emergencies, and basically they're getting overtime when they do that. So anyway.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, it's definitely popular. It's a very expensive item. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm someone who is a strong supporter of a flat tax, and anything that gets us away from that is kind of against that effort. But at the same time, if you can align it with the federal tax code, that seems to make sense too. So mm-hmm. we'll be looking at that coming up.
Okay. So playing the devil's advocate here, the three constitutional amendment questions that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
would they have made it across the governor's desk if they were being signed into law?
Absolutely not. No. The he's already vetoed rolling back his 400-year property tax. That definitely would not. The affirmative action, the DEI, I think that definitely he would veto that as well. He would veto the places of worship closure too. Absolutely. That's the only way. And, you know, this way, the voters will get a shot at it, and they'll be the ones to decide. So that's the way the process works.
Well, I do know that, during the COVID pandemic, that some churches had to go virtual with their services, and some that didn't have the equipment to do that just couldn't do it. So, you know.
Yeah, and you know, and also, you know, there were some folks, like, you know, I look, when it comes to religion, I'm Protestant, so, you know, it's like we can worship at home, we can go online, we can do these things. But in other, you know, thinking of my Catholic constituents, where the sacraments, you can't take that at home, mm-hmm. you know, and it was a very, very hurtful thing to deny them that. So that it'll be interesting. You know, I'm certainly going to vote for it. I voted for it to put it on the ballot. I'm going to vote for it in November. But I'll be very interested in November to see the way the constituents, the voters come down on that one.
Okay. Couple of things that were taken up, maybe you can comment on these a little bit further. There was a bill. There was a bill related to substitute teaching. What was that about?
Oh, yeah, that was actually one of my bills. Several sessions ago, you know, our schools are having such a hard time finding substitutes. And several sessions ago, it wasn't my bill at that time, but we passed the bill that said right now or previously you needed to have a bachelor's degree to be a substitute teacher. We said, we changed the law to make it, if you have an associate's degree, you can sub in schools. If schools want you to, you know, it's still up to them if they want to hire the subs with these, you know, lower degrees. And we put that into place, and it seemed to work well. The school districts appreciated more flexibility in finding subs because that's a really hard thing to do. But one of the things that original law did is we kind of messed up. We didn't include any of the private schools, the voucher schools, or anything like that. So this just extended that to private schools. So they have the same flexibility. And like I said, it was more of an oversight than anything on the first go around. And so this just says if you have a substitute teacher's license from the state, you can sub in a private school. And that would include somebody with an associate's degree who then goes through the DPI training that's required as well. So it just kind of evens the playing field for those schools who are also still struggling. You know, some substitute teaching is something that you really rely on, and the pool of people willing to do that is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So just more flexibility there to help our schools out, get a teacher in front of the classroom for those substitute period times is important.
John, there is another bill that has to do with professional development for science teachers. What is that?
Yes, that's another one of my bills. It's to help our science teachers out a little bit. Right now, professional development, they need to go through this, you know, just like any life builder. You need continuing education and things like that. We worked with two of our partners. One of them is Yerkes Observatory in Lake Geneva area. It's a fascinating place. I actually toured it. Einstein was there. They had many of the breakthroughs. They have, you know, gigantic telescopes that are just simply amazing, and they're ready to teach our science teachers firsthand, and they just needed some guidance on being able to do that. And so it was a bill that we worked with the Department of Public Instruction on. Governor Evers, I'm told, is supportive of it as well. It's just to give our teachers a little bit more flexibility when it comes to professional development, to actually go to a place like a gem like Yerkes Observatory and continue on their education. It's a small thing, but yet, like I said, it's just something that we need to prop up one of our great things that nobody knows about, Yerkes Observatory, and also give teachers more flexibility and kind of a chance to learn. And this is a great place to do it. So it's not the biggest bill in the world, Bob, but it's teachers will appreciate it. And like I said, the Department of Public Instruction, we worked with them on that as well. And money was set aside in the budget for it.
All right. Time to go. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Senator.
You bet. You bet. Anytime, Bob. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you. That is State Senator John Jagler, who represents the 13th State Senate District here in the state of Wisconsin. We appreciate him joining us here on The Morning Wake.